They say Chicago is a city of neighborhoods, a melting pot, if you will. But in this election, especially the runoff, the issues facing Chicago neighborhoods seem to be the last thing on anyone's minds. Issues like affordability, jobs, crime, they all seem to take a backseat to city council corruption and mudslinging. So tonight, we want to reframe the conversation. We get out of our comfy chairs in our luxurious downtown studios to talk with those who are in tune with the pulse of their blocks, their streets, their hoods. We'll feature a slew of these convos before the April 2nd runoff. Tonight, let's start in Inglewood. Inglewood is a predominantly black neighborhood right in the heart of Chicago's South Side. You may be familiar with it as it's highly prominent on the nightly news.
Back to breaking news in Inglewood. One person is dead, another hurt in a shooting.
Flashing blue lights, police cruisers, and yellow tape block off half a block of Morgan Street near 71st in Inglewood.
An argument and or fight erupted outside a home at 72nd in May. What happened next was gunfire and the death of a woman inside a house here.
But Inglewood is more than gun violence. It's a proud neighborhood that once was home to a thriving middle class thanks to the steel mills and other South Side factory work. It featured the second largest shopping district outside the Loop. But politically, the ward has been the victim of greedy politicians and overzealous redistricting. Six different aldermen represent pieces of the neighborhood. But for all the talk of blight and violence, Inglewood is seeing a bit of a resurgence. A new Whole Foods on 63rd Street, plus small businesses starting to pop up everywhere. Who better to talk to about Inglewood than my friend Rashana Baldwin? Rashana has been on a mission. She's created the hashtag Good in Inglewood, and she's relentless, promoting the positive. And boy, do we need it today more than ever. You can check out her Twitter feed, and it's a story about a vegan restaurant or a block party or an event at a local church. It makes sense for a woman that grew up here in Inglewood. She picked a place to meet, Kusanya Cafe at 69th and Green. It's one of these new businesses that's been thriving for 5 years now. And it's more than a cafe or a coffee shop. We went in the morning and the place was packed with coffee drinkers, college students, business meetings, a line of people coming in for the lunch hour, including police officers. It's a destination that brings together all ages, all skin colors. And it's not what I expected, but you know what? That's on me.
How are you?
I'm amazing. I'm excited. There's so much going on. I don't think I've been getting more than 4 hours of sleep since the election. And now we have the runoff, so I'm a little all over.
I feel like I've seen you a couple times in the last couple years.
Yes.
You know, we've done different segments and stuff. But what I've always seen you on social media and other places because you've really adopted this idea of good in Inglewood. What is that?
Good in Inglewood was a way for me to push back on my colleagues in a newsroom like yourself to tell a different side of these communities, the good side. What else is happening besides what we hear, the violence? And it started in 2008 when social media started really picking up. And it was just me hashtagging, there's good things happening in the neighborhood.
Right.
I'm at the Kusanya Cafe eating soup, or I'm walking down the street and not getting shot, or I come from a two-family household, or, you know, I'm on my deck doing yoga in Inglewood, or I'm a vegan going to the grocery store and making a green smoothie. So it was a way to really show and kind of report back
right. To
the masses, to my colleagues in the newsrooms, like cover the other side of these communities.
Okay, so that started in 2008. It's 2019. Have you seen the media change?
Hell yeah. I will make sure I don't, you know, curse, but yes, I have seen them change and come out more and more, and not in just Inglewood, but across the city, predominantly in the South and West Side. So yes, and that pushback, I will say, did help a lot in the sense of stop doing lazy journalism. If it leads, it bleeds. You know, we know those great trade words. So they've been coming out more and being more conscious of what they cover and how they cover it, and showing, you can still show the issues, but show what happened and how did it happen, how do we get here, and what are people doing to change that narrative, and what are the great things happening. So yeah, I've seen the impact. Every time I look up on different talk show morning shows, I'm seeing all the good in Inglewood and the good in the neighborhood. I'm seeing, I used to call it lame duck, if you will, coverage, where they were like show a community cleanup, but they're showing children learning coding. They're showing workforce development events happening. So they're showing like authentic, really stuff that you care about that really makes an impact.
It's so interesting too, because I mean, I'm guilty of it. I think we're all guilty of it. At a certain point, you see the neighborhood name Inglewood, and it is attached so often with that Leeds It Bleeds, or how the nightly news has talked about the different spats of violence that have happened over the years here. And I'm guilty of it, too. I'm guilty of thinking of Inglewood in one form.
Yep.
And here we are in this neighborhood, sitting in this cafe, and it's bustling.
And it's diverse.
It's diverse. It is nothing like I would think in my head is Inglewood is
like. Absolutely. And I'm happy with that. I'm happy that you are covering it. I'm happy that it's now being seen and painted differently. I'm happy that the city is, you know, coming in here more, and we're making sure we watch what they do and being more accountable. And also, I think the coverage that I was able to get also made more of the residents more accountable, made them more interactive, made them more participatory in what's happening in their communities, made them aware of things that they didn't know about because they were brainwashed and just all they thought was it was just hopelessness and despair. So I think it's great, and I hope it continues, and I want it to continue and continue. And yeah, as you see, it's diverse. So many people are coming in our community.
Well, okay, let's talk about the election, because Inglewood is, we were talking about the ward. I mean, there are six different wards that touch Inglewood. Inglewood is not one small two-block neighborhood. It is expansive. And a lot of those are seeing a lot of turnover. You're seeing either aldermen who are in runoffs, a new alderman getting out, alderman, you know, pleading guilty.
But rejecting their plea deal?
Yeah, right, rejecting plea deals. So as someone who lives in Inglewood and you're politically connected and involved and engaged, what's the status right now? I mean, what kind of community are we living in here?
We're living in a community that everybody wants a piece of. So you said six aldermen have touched the ward. So that is, it becomes an issue because it's hard to make decisions, and it's hard for them to sometimes get along with their other colleagues and neighboring wards to try to decide what's best for the community. Six is too many. For example, I think one alderman has maybe two blocks. The election has shooken a lot of people up. One, half the city, or majority of the city, didn't come out to vote. Two, four of the six aldermen are in runoffs. So what that says to me is that they want change. A lot of the younger generation are tired of the broken promises, the failed promises, the lies. And then you have millennials like myself who are like, I want to do something about it because you're not doing it good enough, and I don't think you're really speaking to my needs. So April 2nd is going to be an interesting day because everyone's watching these elections, specifically the aldermanic elections, because a lot of developments, what's on stake? A lot of the developments, a lot of the economic developments and stuff that's coming through is on stake, because if that's up for grabs and the current alderman has been working on all these new housing initiatives, new commercial retail, then you have a new alderman who could possibly undo that and may not be qualified to know what he or she is doing. So that's on stake, and that's a concern. And then the new administration of the mayor. What is the mayor going to say about the stuff that's already in place? Or is she going to undo, you know, some of the things that these aldermen have fought against the current mayor to get in place? So we're all nervous. Well, we're really nervous.
Let's talk about the current mayor. Because he'll be the first to say he was down here on 63rd Street showing the new Whole Foods, and he made a very strong statement early in his tenure that he was going to bring businesses to the South Side, specifically to Inglewood.
So kudos to the late Joanne Alderman Thompson, who was responsible for those developments, and kudos to the current alderman, who's also in the runoff, Alderman Tony Folks. We're talking about the 16th Ward in which those developments sit. So they were really equally the ones, boots on the ground, who negotiated and bought that.
So he just came in and took the headline?
You said those words, not I. But Tony Folks, Alderman Tony Folks, is doing a lot of great work. They just had the opening of the AT&T cellular store on 63rd that sits inside that mall area. She's working on a lot of developments, and specifically in her ward is where a lot of concern is, because from 63rd and Ashland to 59th and Halsted, it's a lot of development, new sit-down restaurants. She has a lot of black developers, investors who've come to now revitalize this community. And it's over $175 million of investments that's been put into the community and could be undone if we get a new alderman.
Are you worried about that?
Yes,
I am. That's the second time you've said that. Yeah,
much so, and that's not my war, but a lot of our economic development and where our economy is focused right there in that that area because, you know, based off history, that's where the shopping, the second largest shopping district to Chicago, downtown Chicago, was. So, yes, I am concerned because even though I congratulate and salute, you know, my generation for wanting to enter politics, you have to understand these are people's lives. These are our jobs. This is the economy. This is not just a job. It's the seat belongs to the people. So you have to know what you're doing and be skilled enough to make those decisions and push back and stand alone sometimes when you go to city council, because running for an office like alderman is not a game. It's not just a job. You are really responsible for $8.9 million. So, yes, I'm concerned.
Okay, so, you know, I'll talk to friend in Jefferson Park or different neighborhood, and they'll say, you know what we need our alderman to do is pick up the garbage and fix potholes.
You know what residents need to do? Educate themselves on what aldermen are supposed to do. Educate themselves on what they are supposed to do in office and what they're not supposed to do. An alderman is not supposed to give you money for your block club party. The alderman is not supposed to come out and pick up your trash. You are responsible and will get ticketed if you do not shovel your snow, clean up in front of your house, report your potholes to them, call 311. So when you push back on elected officials, which I am, I do, because I have them all on speed dial, they're going to ask you, what did you do? Did you report this? And I've sat in a meeting with an alderman who did this to a resident. I don't see any calls from your block. So you live on 71st and Carpenter. Okay, so you called. Did you call 311? Let me pull up the sheet because I don't have any calls in the last 3 months. So before you go complaining to them about things that they're not doing, what did you do as a resident? You're a gatekeeper of your community as well. So, yes, you're supposed to report the outages, the lighting, stop signs, you know, if it's trash. Like, for example, it was a couch in my alley. So we are responsible for cleaning our alleys, but we're not responsible.
Nobody grabbed that couch?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I'll take that couch.
So
stuff like
that.
All my couches.
Things like that. So, you know, Chance the Rapper came out with that Chicagoist piece about, what was it, elderly alderman, on what does alderman supposed to do? And how many people in that video did not know what alderman supposed to do?
Okay, so you are extremely engaged. You are all over it. But Inglewood is not alone in this.
I know.
We didn't see any turnout. The turnout was really low.
It's really disgusting, heartbreaking, after everything that's happened in this city with these lawsuits, with the firing of different elected officials. No one came out to vote. What the hell? It's saddening to hear even fellow, like, younger activists say they don't vote, they don't believe in a process, but they'll go to a protest. So I have posted something on social media, like, there's no action behind there's no action behind protesting if it's not a policy piece behind it. And by you not voting, you're just walking away from the table, and all your work has become undone, and it's contradictory, and you're just burning yourself out. So
if you had 30 seconds, a minute, 5 minutes, whatever they get. I don't know what mayoral, how much time these meetings are.
I don't know.
Let's say you had 5 minutes with the new mayor of Chicago, and you were representing your community. What's the priorities? What's the first thing you say? What are the things that you think this community needs?
This community needs what we currently see within the 16th Ward. More of the economic development coming back. And when I say, I'm not going to just say bring jobs to the community, but bring those quality jobs that's going to really make an impact. For example, bring another grocery store and they're making $10 an hour. The rat race is going to keep going on. Something that can really buy, you know, invest in and have money in the bank and have enough to take care of their families. Give more monies to the current contractors who exist within these neighborhoods. When you're bringing in these new developments, make sure that the residents are working on those developments, those projects. We have a lot of contractors who, you know, say they can't find jobs or no one's hiring them because of their skin color or where they come from, but they're qualified and they have their union cards, but they can't get access to that. So still fair contracting.
So, okay, that's good. I'll ask the question that if I go in the meeting with you, with the new mayor, I would say, what are you going to do about violence?
Yeah,
because I don't hear any of these, candidates, even in the runoff, before the runoff, talking about this issue. So
addressing it is always an issue, and how do we fix it and how do we solve it? Police accountability, continuing to try to foster better community policing relations. And what does that mean? I would think that having officers that represent the neighborhoods, that look like the neighborhoods in which they serve, you know, when they say they're going to have, you know, these trainings and these sensitivity trainings, like, is that really going to be effective? Can you really train someone not to be racist? for example, the commanders. At one point, we didn't even have a commander that represented the community in which 7th District is. So that made a big difference. We saw a lot of crime go down. So things like that. But violence absolutely needs to be addressed. But when you talk about violence, especially gun violence, you have to talk about educational violence, food violence, health injustices. So it's like it doesn't just stem from gun violence, but it goes back to the economics. Quality housing, quality schools, which impacts the violence.
So I'll go right back. We'll end it where we started with, you know, you started this campaign, Good in Inglewood, in 2008. It's 2019. You say that the neighborhood has changed and that the media perception of the neighborhood has changed.
It's slow. It's still changing, and we still get those pushbacks. We still get the TMZ-style headlines in, but it's been different. I definitely can say that, and a lot of our residents can say that they've seen that because a lot of my fellow neighbors have been on TV for the great things that they're doing. Now, like, wow, that's Inglewood. You would have never been on TV
beyond
talking about
media,
this stuff.
Though, beyond whether the perception, is Inglewood getting better?
I believe so. Yes, I absolutely believe so. And what I will walk away today is hoping that the residents will continue to be like me, more active, engaged, calling them out. Like, I beat the door down. I've gotten kicked out of aldermen's offices because I pissed them off, and that's good. You're supposed to piss off your elected officials. Seriously, like, if you're not challenging them, then what are you doing? And one of the things I say, I don't protest. I don't go outside and protest. I may went to a rally, but I don't think that's productive in my opinion. I don't want it. I'm going to bust you out in your meeting. I'm going to come to your dinner meeting. I'm going to come to a coffee shop where I know you're at. I'm going to come to your office and bother your staff, ask for their numbers. I'm going to tweet you if you don't respond. I'm going to put you on blast. So residents have to be more accountable and work and fight to work with our elected officials and as well as the police. I mean, I go in 7th District like it's my house. That's the police station here in Inglewood. And when you say, is it changing? Absolutely. 7th District Police Station is doing a great job because their CAPS doors is open. They're open to the community. They're at our meetings. They're at our block club parties. I can call them. They give out their cell phone numbers. So we need more of that.